Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by the Magic Art Show Art Expedition at GP Las Vegas 2017 Kickstarter. If you guys want to check out some sweet art and look at what they're going to be doing at GP Vegas this year, go to their Kickstarter. It ends this Friday. So go to www.kickstarter.com and search Magic Art Show Art Expedition at GP Las Vegas 2017 by Josh Krause. It's going to be the largest magic art expedition in the world, and it's going to happen at GP Vegas this year. Thank you guys, and we'll see you guys after the music.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mod.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? It's another set review. This is really exciting.
Yeah, we got a new set. It's like they keep coming out every 3 months.
This one like has they, some
that's
cool
what they do.
Cards, man. This has some really cool cards.
Okay, so like before we get, the people that don't know, we used to do it where we'd count down our top 10, like our top 10 episodes against each other, but we realized for set reviews, it's more fun just to go through the cards we think are interesting and cool, talk about what you might be able to do with them and what we think about it. But before we get into that, this set is sick.
This set's really sick. Like, there's like so many things in this set that are just like things in Magic cards that I like. I mean, there's sweet lands, there's like sweet rares, there's cool commons, there's cool like weird outside the box rares.
Yeah, it oozes value, not from a expensive perspective, but from a like every card is worth, like worst case scenario is a cantrip. Flashback is one of the mechanics. Split cards, it's like half split cards, half flashback, half unearth, half flashback. Like all these like classic mechanics that I just love generally, they're all back. This is like definitely a set that I'm all about. Minus one counters is really cool. We've had plus one counters since New Phyrexia, I think.
We have yet another version of Unknown Shores, which was originally called, what the heck was the card called? This thing where you pay one and you filter?
Yeah, but this one's a desert, which means there are ways to tutor it in this format.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
And the word is that Nicol Bolas' set, so the next one, Fatal Hour, I think.
Sure.
Don't quote me on that. Is going to be more desert tribally. Like, it's going to lean more into the desert stuff. They felt like deserts were more Nicol Bolas and less, for whatever reason.
Well,
so
I really like the desert stuff, so I'm into that.
Yeah, I love desert. I want more land tribal. I think that's a cool space that they don't hit up as much as they want.
I agree.
We need more locusts, really.
Yes. Just more locusts.
So I mean, as far as the mechanics go, Embalm, what's your thoughts on Embalm?
Embalm's really good. I mean, look, you've said before, and I have then added to the fact that Flashback and Kicker were like two mechanics that when they were originally printed were not supposed to be these like, this will be the only version of this we ever get. They were like very, very general, generic keywords that have then been built on with other versions. And I think that Embalm essentially being creature Flashback is right. Like, why did you almost wish that Flashback didn't exist as the keyword Flashback? Like Embalm
you
is
can
part
do
of
other cool things with it. That's not, doesn't always feel. Yeah, and part of that is I also like early Magic didn't realize that they needed to carve out design space to be long-term, have freedom to do new stuff. They were like, oh, we're only going to exist for 5 years, so let's do what we think about, and this is cool.
Yeah, I think Embalm's awesome. I think especially the stuff like that card, that 3-3 flyer for 5 with cycling that Embalms for the same cost.
Mm-hmm.
That's like cycling and Embalm is so sick.
And then, I mean, that curtails right into cycling, which I think, you know, is one of the top mechanics of all time, along with Flashback. Like, that's what's cool about this set is the main mechanics are both two of the best mechanics ever printed.
You told me the other day when I was like, oh, do you think such and such thing is playable? And you were like, yes. Look, if it has the word cycling printed on it, it has to be absolutely ridiculously bad to not be playable in my mind.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of right. Like,
yeah.
Cycling is so good.
So I went, literally, I did not lose a match all pre-release. I played in 3 of the 5 events available, didn't lose one. And that's because cycling is insane.
You just like play a deck with a lot less cards in it, basically. And like everybody likes action. It's nice to be able to look at your opening hand and be like, well, whether this has one card or 3 or 4 cards that are relevant, if 3 or 4 of the cards in my hand are cyclers, it's like, no problem. I'll have action.
Yeah, you hit your land drops. You have better chances of hitting your land drops. You have 6 drops. You can play like 6 drops. You can play like 7 of them because worst case scenario, you cycle 3 of them away. You like every card
Yeah, it's. I mean, then their card's not the play. Like, their cards are definitely more mediocre cycling cards. There's, like, the Fog that you have to have a very specific deck that's going to take advantage of it. It's the blue-green ramp deck, for everyone wondering. you have the, like, white untap a creature, prevent all damage to it. That's, like, a fine combat trick, but it's really not going to do a whole lot. So there's definitely effects that aren't, like, oh, man, it has cycling, we should play it. But, like, in general, most of the cycling cards are at least a five.
I had two copies of the white and 5/3/3 flyer that cycles for a white in my deck, the little angel thing.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter giant, I had two of those and two of the black part of that, and I had the demon, and I literally, like, one turn cycled one into another one, into another one, into another one, and did -4/-4 to everything on
it
the other side.
Wrecked your opponent's board. I had the demon as well, but the white card, what I thought was interesting is that, like, I cycle it 100% of the time. Unless I drew it late in the game, unless I drew it, I top decked it late, I always cycle it in my opening hand. And I was thinking about, is that correct? Or is, like, because it's such a high casting cost card.
So the way I was playing with cycling is in this draft format and limited format, there are so many things that trigger off of cycling that unless I need to hit a land drop, absolutely, or I need to hit something that turn, or I have a cycling trigger on the board, I would save it till later.
Got it.
Especially
okay.
with those one drop ones where it's not hard to, like,
have them
play a
four
drop
later.
And the one extra one mana that you can cycle with if you need to.
Sure.
Versus, like, the two drop ones are the ones that I'm more willing to think about cycling early because you only have mana right now for that and it's harder to play.
So maybe I was too aggressive then in my cycling. It's totally possible. It's just that action thing I said. So you just want action. You want action. Anyway, guys, yep. We're going to get into the whole review here. If you want to follow along, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
I'm at Kes Wiley. The podcast is at the MMCast on Instagram, Facebook. You should make sure to check out our Facebook. We're going to start posting content there more regularly. Make sure to look at our Patreon. It's where we are able to do all the cool things we do. We're working on getting a cool live video version of the podcast that the Patreon's going to help kind of accomplish. Where we you know, Ben went to the Team GP and we got, you know, we brought two teammates
to
it.
Vegas.
We're going to go to GP Vegas, meet with people, and kind of the point is the Patreon helps us do cool Magic content and create cool stuff for you guys. And it's the reason we're able to do this podcast, and we've been doing it for almost 130 episodes, so we really thank all the people on the Patreon. Really appreciate it. It's also the best place to get the Lifelinker background, so there's an app that the Collected.company website, Jimmy and Josh, that is where we live. That is the other main place to find us, is at Collected.company, but they released this new app. It's called Lifelinker. It's a basic Lifelink, you know, life total counter. You can play up to, I think, 6 players, maybe more. In the base version, you get to pick players, but if you pay, I think it's $1.99, you get to start changing names and customize color backgrounds. But also, if you donate to our Patreon or Patreon of a bunch of different cool content collectors like Wedge from the Mana Source, Tolaria Community College, Loading Ready Run, you get the cool background from them, and you can get ours, which is our sweet lightning bolt.
And also, guys,
on the website, if you go to Patreon.
And the last thing to point out is that I am on this app called Anchor, which is like podcast meets Twitter. And it's like little short form audio blurbs where I talk about Magic for 10 minutes every single day. I have a show called 10 Minutes of Magic. It's really cool. And I do a thing on Thursdays called Throwdown Thursdays now, where every Thursday in the morning, I announce it, and you can call in, and I play a match of Magic over the radio, effectively, one turn at a time for the course of a few days against one listener a week. And I've done 5 of them. They're really fun. The rules are a little bit different. It's just very, very much like Haymaker Mental Magic. And if you beat me in Mental Magic, you'll get a Lifelinker code. That's what Alex and I have talked about. That
is the way. If you're strapped for cash, or you're donating to all the other guys on the thing, and you want to maybe do something a little bit cooler, you can get lucky and be one of the person that week to try and beat Ben at Mental Magic. And if you win, free Lifelinker code.
It's really fun. And it's like the world gets to hear my turns and your turns. We can talk about it. It's definitely very cool. So just go download the app, anchor.fm, and follow my station, 10 Minutes of Magic. And if you call in Thursday, we'll play some Magic. You can get a Lifelinker app. Anyway, let's get into the episode. Let's talk about the set.
Yeah. So first card, you actually kind of talked about it a little bit already. We're going to do it in order of uncommon to rare to mythic rare. I don't think we have any commons from this set on this list. Number one is Aketra's Attendant, 3 white-white, bird, soldier, flying, cycling, 2, embalmed, 5/3/3.
It's pretty fringe for modern, but in terms of having long game, I mean, it is pretty powerful.
The fact that it cycles and embalms, like, it's an instant speed draw card. That's you're going to do that 90% of the time. It gets a creature in your graveyard, which is super relevant to Delirium-like shenanigans, and getting a 3/3 for 5 out of your graveyard is probably going to be pretty decent. Like, Lingering Souls is fine. Like, flashback spells are powerful. And, like, anytime you have a flashback spell, you have to kind of look at it and see, is this viable? And this has the cycling effect to it, so it's not even, like, a bad card on one side. It's just always going to be draw a card, and then you basically draw two cards. You draw whatever card you draw with cycling and a 5/5 flyer for 3, or 3/3 flyer for 5.
I definitely think it's powerful, and I think, you know, Delve is a big thing in Modern. Like, powering up your graveyard, you know, that's a good thing to do. The fact that
it's Tarmogoyf bigger.
I mean, I think the fact that it's a 3/3 is an issue, but
sure.
But you know, it's right on the fringes. This card's good. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody had a one of show up in some competitive deck soon, just being like, you don't realize how good this actually is.
There's a lot of value. And Lightning Bolt's worse than it used to be. It dodges Fatal Push. It's a 5 drop, so yep. I guess the token does not, though.
That's a 0. Yeah. Okay.
Next is Cast Out. There's going to be some cycle here. This is the Flash O-Ring that has cycling for 1.
Oh, yeah, for 4, right?
Yeah. So this is another... One of the big ones on this is, once again, is the Delirium Tarmogoyf conversation. This is an enchantment you can get in your graveyard for 1 white.
Yeah.
And you draw a card. And that just by itself is something to look at. And the fact that it's a Flash Exile target permanent, non-land permanent, is like pretty close anyways, even for 4 mana.
We were already living in the world of Delirium before the set. This set really is going to turn on Delirium. The number of enchantments that have side.
Well, that's something they said, is that both that they like purposely added mechanics into Amaket with the idea of maybe helping Delirium. The big one was the double cards, because a lot of them are instants and sorceries, because they were like, how do you do an instant sorcery?
Oh, interesting.
And that's kind of where they're at, is you get both sides.
That's really cool. Yeah. I think this card's good. I don't think this card's going to see a lot of play, but I could see this as a one of in a deck that wants to achieve Delirium.
If you're in a color, I can see this seeing play over O-Ring most of the time now.
But those decks don't play O-Ring, so this is in a specific deck.
Yeah.
Number three
is Bone Picker. This is 4 mana. Bone Picker is 1 black, 3 colorless, bird, 3/2 flyer, death touch. Bone Picker costs 3 less to cast if a creature died this turn. I've had a lot of people talk to me about this card. So it's a possible 1 mana 3/2 flyer, death touch.
Wow.
You have to have something die that turn, and it could be something on your opponent's side, so you can literally Lightning Bolt play this on your turn 2 if they have a creature in play. Huh. You can also just play any sack creature that you just sack and die for value. So if there's a creature that you can pay for 1 mana, sack it, and then it dies. The best one, I think, because you can get this on turn 1 now.
Wild Canter?
Is that the one that you sack for a mana of any color? The hybrid green-red guy? Yes, that guy.
Yeah, that's where I was going too. Yeah. Looking
so
him
you
up.
Can, you can play Wild Canter and then play this on that same turn.
Whoa, that's crazy. So you could Spirit Guide into a Wild Canter turn 1 and then sack Canter to play the 3/2. Yeah.
But I don't even think you need the Spirit Guide. It doesn't cost mana to tap her and make a mana.
No, actually, it's true. You play him for 1, and then you sacrifice him to get 1, and then you play the guy.
Yeah.
No, you don't even need a Spirit Guide. You literally just play this guy into the 3/2.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And the stuff, like, you can, worst case scenario, you like Walking Ballista for 0 if you really need to get that 3/2. I think that's wrong at that point, but there's other things you can do that get it in the play on turn 1 if you want that turn 1 play. But turn 2 is completely serviceable. Any removal spell gets it in as well. Yeah.
I mean, Bone Picker, that sounds like a good card.
So
like,
the Black Delve Rift Secret.
I pretty much missed that card. Interesting.
Yep. Next?
Yeah. What do you got?
Start to Finish. This is 2 colorless, 1 white, create 2 white warrior creature tokens with vigilance, and then finishes 1 black, 2 colorless, as an additional cost, sacrifice a creature, destroy target creature.
Okay.
It's a removal spell from your graveyard. It's a 3 mana flashback removal spell. Yes, you have to sacrifice something, but it's a, what's it called? It's Bone Splitters. It's 3 mana flashback Bone Splitters, which is pretty good, and it comes with a Lingering Souls on the front half. They don't have flying. They have vigilance, which is definitely not as good. But it does a lot of different things that are things to pay attention to.
Incidental value, guys. If one half of the spell is even remotely good, the fact that you get the back half is like, there's one of these split cards we're going to talk about at some point is basically not Tragic Slip. It's Hero's Downfall with something, like with value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, what?
Yeah. No, like all the flashback cards are good.
Yeah,
they are in Modern even. You know, they're off the top of my head, I can even at least 5 turn, you know, stand definitively playable Modern cards that are flashback.
Yep,
this does similar things. I can see this in black white tokens very easily as a one of. They're still one ofs, but the value is there.
Yeah, definitely, it just gives you more reach.
Yep. Next is Lord of the Accursed, 2/3 for 3. Other zombie creatures get +1/+1. You can give all zombies menace until end of turn.
For a black and 1 and tap, right?
It's a black and white untappy, correct.
He is the first example we're going to talk about on this show, this episode, about the zombie tribe in this set being supported and why we think that there's possibly a future in
it. We now have had, in the last year, as of today, a lot of zombie tribal print, a lot of zombie cards printed.
This one doesn't do anything for it. There's already, this card exists in some form already.
So the reason I brought this up is because we were talking about this earlier. One of the things that zombies is missing that Merfolk has is a ability to grant evasion. And this has attached to it an ability to give all your zombies menace, which is evasion. So this could be, I don't think it's the main lord you play with. I think you want the other lords that are that. But as a one of that just is allows you to like alpha strike someone once in a while.
Yep.
He's got a pretty strong pedigree on that end.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just like there's none of the other ones that are lords have even broken through into the zombie decks for the most part. So that ability is pretty fringe for me to think this guy's going to make the difference. I mean, look, we'll do a whole conversation about zombies.
And we're going to go through more, yeah.
But like the reason, if you guys are looking at this and wondering, okay, what's the difference? Merfolk is different because it has 8 copies of a 2-drop lord with a landwalking ability slapped onto it. And it has a card that allows you to generate value off of giving you advantage on that ability. So,
but the other end is that zombies have 8 1-drop 2/1s that are unkillable.
True enough. Yeah.
And we'll get to that card as well. So we'll continue. Vizier of Remedies, 1W. 2/1 human cleric. If one or more -1/-1 counters would be put on a creature you control, that many -1/-1 counters -1 are put on it instead. This probably is the most powerful card in Modern from this set.
Because it's another piece. Right, it's another piece of the combo.
It works with it's another Malira, so it works with Kitchen Finks and or any persist creature that not go off. It also works with the elf that puts a -1/-1 counter and make infinite mana. So it now works with 2 different combos in the deck. That combo lets you then use any kind of card draw outlet, which there's the, what's the 2-drop green creature? 4 mana, top 5 cards.
4 mana, top 5 cards?
From Shadows of Innistrad. You look at the top 4 cards or 5 cards and you pick a creature from it and put it in your hand.
Oh, the werewolf.
Yeah.
He's called, I can't think what he's called, but I'll look him up. You keep talking.
Yeah. So that guy, and then you can find, once again, Walking Ballista with that, and then you just go infinite and win. So it adds an additional I win no matter what combo to that deck while also playing with the game plan that already exists.
Duskwatch Recruiter.
And beyond that, that combo doesn't use the graveyard, so it's a way for that deck to win without graveyard hate. That is also all collected companyable. It's definitely a playable, another addition to that deck that's going to be
this
really
card's
strong.
Powerful. It adds something. I don't know how much it adds considering that deck was already good and like didn't really need more copies of its combo.
But the deck was worse recently because of Dredge accidental hate. The cards that are good against it are really good against Dredge, and because Dredge was a problem and is a problem still, that graveyard hate hurt Collected Company.
And the fact that
it
this
now
works
without using the graveyard, it doesn't need
the
persist.
Because of the mana thing.
Because of the infinite mana side. And that both of those cards are pretty decent on their own.
Makes sense.
All right, next, and this is a weirder one, Embalmer's Tools. This is a 2-mana artifact. Activated abilities of creature cards in your graveyard cost 1 less to activate. Tap an untapped zombie you control. Target player puts the top card of his or her library into the graveyard. That part doesn't matter. It's really the fact that it makes all Unearth and Embalmed creatures cost 1 less. And any other effect, kind of like, what's the skeleton?
2-mana, the reassembling
skeleton? Reassembling skeleton, or effects like that where, I'm not saying that's specifically the one, but anytime you make an effect cheaper, there's ways to possibly break it in ways that haven't been thought of.
Training grounds.
Right, this is the training grounds for flashback or flashback creatures.
It's fine. I read this card. It's whatever. It has that zombie ability is interesting, but I don't think there's much to this card. We can move on.
Okay. this is another card I think is very strong. And this is Censor. 1 blue, 1 colorless, 4 spike, counter target spell, unless it controller pays 1, cycling. The reason I like this card is I think this is better than Mana Lake in Modern.
Because it draws you a card.
Because it's good turn 4 and beyond, and it's way better with Path to Exile.
Yeah, true.
Because the problem with Mana Lake with Path is classically, I'm ramping you so you can pay for the Mana Lake.
Yeah.
This, once it's dead, you draw it. You just cycle it, and you have a new card.
Yeah.
And it turns on Delirium, and it does all the other things we've mentioned that's good. Also, cycling instants and sorceries are something to look at because Snapcaster Mages is just generically going to be decent with them because you can cycle this, draw a card, and then Snapcaster for the effect later on.
Yep.
It does a lot of really cool things.
It's fine. I think the actual effect of 2 mana for 4 spike is weak, so I don't know how good that actually is.
Cycling, Ben. It's cycling.
No, I'll give it to you. I just mean, like, you say very powerful, I say moderate. Okay. Maybe. I'm not convinced. It just seems, sure. It seems a little loose.
Next is Blood Rage Brawler. This is a red and a colorless for a Minotaur Warrior, 4/3. When it enters the battlefield, discard a card. It's a 4/3 for 2. That's already pretty high on the power level scale.
That allows you to get something out of your hand.
And you can discard this into Lingering Souls, and now you have a free 2/2s, or not free 2/2s, but you know, there's value you get from discarding in general. Something to look at. It definitely does a lot of. There's a lot of words on this that all work pretty well.
I mean, look, this is basically Talara's Battalion in red, except like you don't. Except like you don't need to do something really clever. You just have to have a card in hand you can discard. So seems better.
Yeah, I mean, at worst, discarding your own card is an okay. It's like a mediocre drawback. You're generally going to be pretty fine without it.
But very often you can get value out of it.
It's so easy to make it a actual draw card in some senses.
Yeah, I mean, like, you play this in a madness deck, like an aggressive madness deck.
Oh yeah,
it seems awesome.
Next on the list, one drop, Time to Reflect, instant, exile target creature that blocked or was blocked by a zombie this turn.
Really? You put that on the list?
I just read that it said blocked or was blocked. I never see how it read. So it's not just if you have a zombie exile path. That makes me sadder. This card's not as good as I thought it was.
Moving on.
this one's better. Flame Bit Blade Adept. One red, Jackal Warrior Menace. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, Flame Blade Adept gets +1/+0 until end of turn. The key to this one is, I mean, in standard right now, there's a way on turn 3 to deal 20 damage to a player with this, and the Noose Constrictor, and the black card that returns all cards discarded this turn to your hand.
Wow. How?
So, turn 1 this, turn 2 Noose Constrictor, swing with this, do 1 damage.
Okay.
Turn 3, so that you have 1, 2, you have 2 cards in play, so this, so 4, and you've drawn 2 cards, so you have 5 cards in hand.
Yep.
Discard 5 cards, Noose Constrictor gets +1/+1. 5 times, and this guy gets +1/+0 5 times. Play the black card that draws back all cards you discard this turn. Discard them again. They both get +5/+5. Swing for 20.
Couldn't you also play the new card that we haven't talked about yet on here, the 3-mana split card? That doubles damage?
You could, but not on turn 3.
It costs 3, doesn't it?
You could do that. I see what you're saying.
So you discard everything and have 10 and double to 20?
Yeah.
Sick.
So that's standard. So if you can do that in standard, I feel like there's something to look at in modern.
Powerful.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's other ways to discard. We talk, you know, the zombie infestation with this is really good. There's other things that you can kind of gain value. Just an altogether good card. This one's a weird one, and this one has a pretty specific use that I want to bring up, but Grasping Dunes. This is a land desert, which hopefully we get sweet deserts.
It's desert, right?
No, it's sacrifice to put a -1/-1 counter on target creature.
Oh, in desert you had to just tap to do it?
Desert does tap to deal 1 damage to target attacking creature.
Okay,
or blocking
so it's
creature.
A little different.
Yeah, yeah. The big thing with this one is that it's a reusable with stuff like Crucible Worlds as a -1/-1 to things. It's a removal spell on a land.
And it puts a counter on it.
It
not
puts
just
a counter, yeah. So like it does a lot. You have to do it at sorcery speed, so you can't kill stuff at instant speed. But
it's an inexpensive ability, though.
Yeah, and it's on a colors thing, so Eldrazi could play it. There's like definitely decks that would maybe take advantage of this. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Oh, good. We're at lands. And now we're at rares. We've moved from uncommon. First is Honored Hydra. 6 mana, 6/6, trample. But you can embalm it for 4.
6/6 trample for 6 that embalms for 4.
Yeah. So it's really a 6/6 trample for 4 that you have to get into your graveyard somehow.
So you just discard this to something early and you get a 6/6 on turn 4?
Yeah, play Liliana, discard this, and then when you want one, you have a 6/6 trampler.
Seems good.
Yeah. I mean, this is the card. This is the card that existed before. It was the Worm.
Reckless Worm.
Yeah.
And it was Reckless Worm. It was originally Arrogant Worm.
Yeah, sorry, Arrogant Worm. Reckless Worm
is the color shifted red version.
Oh, I didn't know that card existed. Okay.
Yeah. Arrogant Worm's the green one from Torment, and then it got reprinted color shifted in Planar Chaos.
Same converted mana cost and everything?
Same card.
In red? Oh, okay. It just doesn't. Okay.
It's in modern.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then they just won't see play in modern because that card exists.
Yeah.
I didn't know that existed. Colored shifted cards. All right. Next is...
Well, except that this is better than that, though, because... it's not necessarily better. No, the red card does have trample. Okay. It's not necessarily better. It's more about the fact that the red card, you have to get that value, you have to do it as you discard it, which means it's a more complicated turn.
Oh, it's madness.
Yes.
Oh, it's not flat. It's not flashback to get a worm in six. Because there's the flashback spell that's
six.
Are
you talking about Roar of the Worm?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about the madness one.
Got it. I'm talking about Roar of the Worm.
Got it. Okay.
Which is this. And that's not in modern.
No,
so this has 100% chance of being a playable card in this format.
Roar Sweet. Of the Worm, which is also Torment, I think.
Yeah.
7 mana for a 6/6 that flashes back for 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
So okay. This is 6 mana for a 6/6 trample that flashes back for 4.
Got it. Okay. Yep.
Cool. So this can see play. Back on board with the Snake Hydra. Plus, I love Snake Hydras. I think this is the second Snake Hydra we've gotten.
Sick.
All right. Heart Piercer Manticore. This is 2 red, 2 colorless for a Manticore. When Heart Piercer Manticore enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice another creature. When you do, Heart Piercer Manticore deals damage equal to the creature's power to target creature or player. You can also flash it back or embalm it to do the exact same thing. It's a 4/3. It's Fling from the Graveyard. That's something that is fascinating to me. It's like a unique effect. I'm kind of looking at the things that do that we didn't have access to that you can flash back from your graveyard now. It is a 6 mana to do that, but also just in general, Fling on a creature is something that is unique and powerful, and I'd like to see... I can see it possibly doing something interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, just 4/3 for 4. And when it comes in, you sack something and get that creature's power and damage.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, what comes to mind is...
Oh, Tarmogoyf.
Yes, Tarmogoyf's good.
If you get Tarmogoyf big enough, he's like a... Even if it's a 5/6, swinging with Tarmogoyf and then playing this and then...
Goyf's really good. I'm just trying to think like what other things have a lot of power for a low mana curve that you could reliably cart her
Hunted Horror?
Yes. Hunted Horror sweet.
Mere Superior.
Phyrexian Soul Gorger.
Yeah.
8/8 for 3 with a cumulative upkeep of sack a creature. If you had any kind of like mana creature ramp in your deck going on, like what if you had, I love the idea of like a turn 1 bird into a turn 2 Soul Gorger into a turn 3 this guy sacking Soul Gorger and you sack your bird or the Soul Gorger. So like,
yeah.
That seems powerful.
Yeah.
It's a lot of damage.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that didn't exist before. Plus, like, you have late game stuff of, like, Gargadon if you're playing a Dredge kind of Life from the Loam kind of version. Not Life from the Loam, Bridge from Below. And you have this in the graveyard, and then eventually you just have that much mana, and you're like...
Is it when it enters? Is that what it is? It's not when you cast it.
No, when it enters.
So you have, like,
Flicker. Well, it has Embalm. And you can flicker it all day long.
The flicker effects. That's what's getting me. I'm just like, okay, so you have a Soul Gorger, and then...
and then you play you Flicker like, Wisp, and it bounces this, and then this sacks the Flicker Wisp, and then you do a 3 another damage.
It's fine. I also like the idea of like playing Postmortem Lunge for 3 and bringing the Soul Gorger back and then cloud shifting this guy to sack the Soul Gorger a second time.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. See? Didn't have faith, has faith. This is put this on because you're going to want to talk about it. This is Curator of the Mysteries. 2 blue, 2 colorless, 4/4 flying. Whenever you cycle or discard another card, scry 1, cycle blue.
It's a Sphinx, right?
Yeah.
This card's so sick.
It is really good.
This card's disgusting. This card is like, look at the rate on this. Just let's just like for a second step back and look at it. Okay,
four flyer for 4 is good.
It's already busted. Yeah. Like in the old
days. Well, not in modern, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, a 4/4 flyer. Look, a 3/4 flyer with flash for 4 that has an incidental ability is one of the more powerful creatures in the history of modern.
Well, no, I mean, in the history of Magic, Sarah Angel, which is a 4/4 flyer for 5, is the best creature in Magic for a period of time. This is not strictly better because it doesn't have vigilance, but otherwise is like comparable. It's probably better, though.
And the stuff printed on this card is nuts in terms of the advantage you get if you put it in a similar deck. And the fact that it cycles for a blue is just like, what?
Yep. Though I was thinking about it, and I talked with people. I don't think this is because we were talking before about it seeing play in Living End. I don't think this is a Living End card. Partly because I don't think it offers that much more to add an entire fifth color.
Except for that As Foretold is going to make the cut. So I think it does become a Living End card.
I don't think As Foretold makes the cut in Living End.
Definitely does. As Foretold, then you cast Living End.
No, but you have better ways of doing that are instant speed.
You don't need...
Everything else in the deck is instant speed. Why would you play the sorcery one?
Because it sits in play, and at any point in time, if you draw a Living End, you cast it. Just sits in play. Yeah, and as soon as you draw a Living End, you cast it.
I think you want something that you want to cast. That's the only card in the deck that works with it. It's like a it's a dead card unless you have Living End versus all your other cards that just go find it for you, guaranteed.
Well, also if the game goes long and things it's in play, you'll just draw expensive creatures and then cast them for free off of it.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
All right, I'll give it to you. I still think this card's really good.
And to add another color, like add another color, and this is a sorcery for you spec that only happens when Living End is sure. your hand. When you like, there's things that
all right.
go wrong.
All right.
Commit and Memory. Commit is blue 3, instant. Put target spell or non-land permanent into the owner's library, second from the top. Memory is Aftermath. Each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into his or her library, then draws 7 cards. So what's interesting about this card to me is two things. One, Commit is much better in a format with fetchlands. It is now actually a removal spell. It's an instant speed kill thing.
They can't crack a fetch. They lose their thing.
And at worst, it just puts it on... No, if they crack a fetch, you commit anything. It's an instant.
Oh, in response to it?
Yeah, sure.
That's like when people used to play Submerge.
Right, exactly.
Legacy, yeah.
And so it's kind of like Submerge, but and then on top of that, the Time Twister on the back end. In a control deck, like as a one of, this will make it so you can keep rebuying stuff if you want to, put them from your graveyard back into your deck.
Yep. You said Memory is Time Twister on the back end? Did I zone out for that second half of the card there?
Yeah, Memory is each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into his or her library, then draws 7 cards.
Wow, for how much mana?
6. But it's a flashback, 6.
Seems like pretty powerful, actually.
Yeah. I had it in one of my pulls over the pre-release, and every time I cast, I was like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah, this card, I was off my radar a little bit. Interesting.
Commit's good enough. It's a little bit weaker than it should be, and Memory's a little bit weaker than it should be. But in Modern, where an instant speed version of this is pretty good, you can also always cast, Commit is decent in Modern.
Yeah,
because it also doesn't put it on top. It puts it second from the top.
Yep.
So you have time to deal with it.
You get the extra turn. I agree.
Plus, you play Ghost Quarter, and then you're just like,
sick.
Do you want your card back, or do you want that land?
What's next?
Anointed Procession. 1W3 colorless. If an effect will create one or more token creatures under your control, it creates twice that many tokens.
It's white parallel lives. It needed to be in white for a long time.
Yeah.
White's a token color. Like, this should have been printed forever ago.
Yep, and now we have it. And Gideon's all walking on it.
Pretty simple.
Talking to people. It'd be interesting if this effect is better in... Because this is in white, if there's a deck that can take advantage of it, that's pretty much where I'm at on it.
You just mentioned Gideon. That's something I thought of. Is playing Gideon of the Trials and Mental Magic a good move? Because you get one effect or spell per turn. So you ultimate him the turn you play him.
And you just play 4-mana Gideon, 5-mana Gideon, bad 5-mana Gideon, bad 4-mana Gideon until they can't win.
Well, you have to be able to untap and kill them. You have to do anything to them. So if they kill a Gideon, you have to play another Gideon.
Have a Gideon and Mental Magic, can they win? If you have a Gideon and play in his emblem in play, can they win?
No.
So then can't you just keep... If you play that Gideon on turn like 5, and then just for every turn after that play a Gideon, they can't kill. They can't win.
Well, except that
they could just kill Gideon the last turn, and if you have less life than
zero
them,
life.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so that won't work.
Except that Gideon's a super sick card, so they don't kill Gideon. Your 5-mana Gideon's like, okay, I'll swing for 6. Your turn, like that.
Well, but they have to not kill Gideon.
But if they kill Gideon, they haven't done anything proactive. So then I feel like it's actually...
Well, and something like a 4-mana Gideon where you get up a 2-2 is like, even if they kill the Gideon, you don't have a 2-2 that's bashing him in.
Yeah. I think it's maybe a good play.
Planeswalkers are probably better in Mental Magic than we've been giving them credit because they create a threat while presenting a threat.
I've been playing them a lot. I've played 4-mana Elspeth like a lot.
Yeah.
So I think I'm on turn 4 in the game I'm in the middle of right now, though this is actually, you'll hear this later, but... and I'm trying to decide if I should play Gideon of the Trials. I kind of think I should. I'm like seriously considering it.
All right, next.
Or maybe I should play, because on curve, I should play 4-mana Gideon now, make a creature. That's what I should do. I should play the good Gideon later, except because he's not playing in white, so then he can't snake me.
Sure.
So I play it later after I've generated creatures and stuff.
Yeah, play 4-mana Gideon, make tokens.
Yeah, start bashing.
Yeah. Sweltering Suns, red, colorless, sorcery. Sweltering Suns deals 3 damage to target creature, or to each creature, cycling 3.
Yeah, it's a slag storm meets anger meets cycling. It's sick.
Do you think there is a reason to play this over Anger of the Gods?
No.
Yeah, the exile effect is... The reason you play Anger of the Gods is the exile effect.
The exile effect in Anger is so important. It's like 85% of why that card is good. Because...
I play Pyroclasm, I think, otherwise, every single time.
Three is important, but yeah, I would agree.
What three? I mean, like, everything that dies the 3 is a... doesn't like there are a bunch of things that Lightning Bolt can kill.
Yep.
And yeah, anger hits all those. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd want to play something with a wider effect if you were.
There are more. I think there's more X1s and X2s than there are X3s.
Yes.
Because if it's expensive enough to be a 3 toughness creature, it is probably too expensive to not have 4 toughness to survive lightning bolt.
2 versus 3 without the exile effect may as well be 5 damage.
Yeah.
Like, you may as well go big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harvest Season. Green, 2, sorcery. Search your library for up to X basic land cards, where X is the number of tapped creatures you control, and put those cards onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. This can ramp you very high.
Cost 3 or 4?
Cost 3.
Interesting. Yeah. So with mana creatures and like in an elves deck, basically, and mana creatures, this just seems like you would go completely bonkers.
Yeah, you just like, you have 12. You can put a lot of lands into play with this.
You would play like an elf 1, and then on... No, it wouldn't be good turn 2. You'd play like an elf on turn 1 and like... Oh, I'm going to sneeze.
2 elves, 3 elves.
Yeah, I think you'd play this on like turn 3 or 4 to ramp to like 8.
And that's
or 9.
An elves. I mean, like, think about this in like just anything playing Lingering Souls.
Basic lands you're searching for, though.
True.
Right? Yeah. In modern, I mean, your decks aren't playing that many basic lands.
Yeah, you'd have to build it. I mean, that's why elves is better, because you're playing a bunch of basic lands.
Yeah, this card's okay. Seems like a trap.
Might be a trap. Throne of the God Pharaoh, legendary artifact. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the number of tapped creatures you control. Speaking of elves.
Yeah, elves and tokens. This is good.
Yeah, elves, tokens, affinity. Those are the three places I've heard people talk about it. In affinity, it's a way to get around things that might be stopping you from killing you for whatever reason. Or it's just another aggressive threat to your deck that isn't killed by creature removal. It's obviously really good in elves, where you're tapping a bunch of creatures every turn and it's a way to kill them over some type of, you know, board glut or whatever you can't get over.
I think this card's good. Yeah. I think it's pretty specific, but I like the idea of it, especially like
it also gets around White Ley Line.
Yeah.
Because each opponent loses.
So
decks that have a problem with that, like Burn, this could be something to answer that as well.
Yeah, seems good. Yep. Seems good to me.
All right. Speaking of returning a bunch of cards from your graveyard back to your hand, Shadow of the Grave, black, colorless, instant, return to your hand all cards in your graveyard that you cycled or discarded this turn.
Okay, so this is a big like Storm type of card. And it's not Storm, but it's
a big Storm or like a zombie infestation or a...
It's a big reset type of card.
Yeah, it's a reset type of card.
Yeah.
So it's meant to, like, you're getting value off of... It just it gives you a pretty degenerate way to start doing stuff with big discard effects.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I've been trying to build this Shenanigans Highlander deck now for, like, about a week, which is all, like, Jeskai Ascendancy, Cheerios kind of a thing. But because it's a 100-card format, you don't have enough cheap, like, a zero-mana equipment and ways to access those SRAM and whatever.
Sure.
So I've been running into, like... You can generate all the looting that you want, but if you don't have a way to just refill your hand conveniently, you can't do anything.
Right.
And this is one of those things where, like, Magic doesn't often create an easy way for you to generate 3, 4, 5, and 6 cards in one turn.
Right.
And this is one of those ways.
Well, and you know, like, there's the... And I don't know how well it plays in this because it turns off the combo a little bit, but the Treasure Hunt Zombie Infestation decks.
Yes.
Where it's like... I discard 30 lands and make a bunch of 15 zombies, and then you could get all those lands back and make another 15 zombies with that. That's a little bit win more and probably doesn't work there, but that's a zombie infestation decks are things that exist. So this plays really well in there. So I definitely think there's interesting things to do kind of in this space.
Definitely.
And something that, it's, you know, powerful effect is powerful effect. Plus you can flash it back with Snapcaster Mage because it's a spell.
Shiok.
Oh God, where'd deck go?
What do we got next? What do we got next, Kessler? What do we got? What do we got?
Pull from tomorrow. X, blue, blue. Draw X cards and discard a card. So this is Blue Sun Zenith, but instead of it costing 3 blue, you have to discard a card. It costs 2 blue. It's an instant X spell that draws a bunch of cards.
Way better.
Yeah, because you only need 2 blue instead of 3 blue. Yeah. It's just like way better.
Plus, so much better.
Plus, 3 mana instant speed, draw a card, discard a card is like not good, but way more serviceable than 3 mana don't do anything. Shuffle your deck.
three mana loot at instant speed's bad, but 4 mana draws you discard 1.
Yeah, it's at instant speed is fine.
It's okay.
5 mana draw 3 discard 1 is good. Yeah, I'd say
5 mana draw 3 discard 1. Well, actually,
that's good. Especially like ignoring like. I mean, it's not like oh man, modern playable, but the fact that it then scales up even higher.
It's okay when you consider that in the correct deck, that's what Thirst for Knowledge is actually. Is it makes it like, ugh, that's really bad. Thirst for Knowledge is already borderline playable.
But it scales up.
Yeah.
So you get the 6 mana. Like, think about it in like a Grixis Mirror.
At 7 mana, draw 5, discard 1. I'm in. That's like the place.
Well, that's I think at four mana, you, if you have nothing to do on four mana and it's the end of their turn and they've done something and you're like, oh, I have nothing, I didn't do anything with my mana, you definitely play this and draw two, discard one.
Especially if you're holding like a glut of lands and like you, now you can discard your land and draw two cards.
I've definitely played, like, I would definitely put this in one of in a control deck and just like have it be a, instead of Ancestral Visions, my card. Like, it's kind of like Sphinx's Revelation, but Sphinx's Revelation isn't that great in Modern. Because the life gain isn't as important as this would be, I think.
Interesting.
And the fact that you can do it on turn two is a stronger play.
I would say that in Modern...
Plus flashing this back is much better. Like in, and actually, the discard effect is more relevant in Modern because you want to get stuff in your graveyard anyways.
In Modern, a 6-mana draw for discard one is... That's like the... You'd play two of these in like a Grixis deck, and it would be like the game-breaking. That's like...
Yeah, yeah. Like
I think the 6-mana version is where it starts to tilt into really unfair.
Yeah, but the point is that it, like, it's like, we're going to talk about this, especially when we get the Nissa. You play these effects because, they're, and that's like cycling is the same deal. You play these effects because when you play it at its mediocre, it's obviously mediocre, but you have something to do that turn and it's fine, it does something, but you're playing it because you want to get to the late game. But if you are in a situation where you're like, oh, if I don't draw land, I'm screwed.
Yep.
On my turn four, then I'm going to cycle this.
I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah. Draw spells. Next? Seems good.
What's that card called?
That is called Pull from Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Pull from Tomorrow. Okay.
This is the card you're going to talk about.
Sick.
You think it's cool. I'm pretty low on it. I think it's just okay. Harsh Mentor.
Oh, yeah. This card's great.
One colorless, one red. Human Cleric. Whenever an opponent activates an ability of an artifact, creature, or land on the battlefield, if it isn't a mana ability, Harsh Mentor deals 2 damage to that player.
It's 2/1?
It's a 2/2.
2/2.
This card's good. I think it's... Fine. I think Burn will play it, maybe some in the main, maybe some in the side, and I think that's the only place it'll ever see play.
I disagree with you. I think the advantage...
The fact that you can... The reason Eidolon of Great Revels is so good is that I can't kill it without taking 2 damage. This, I can literally just cast Lightning Bolt, and it does nothing.
That's fine. You can cast Lightning Bolt and kill Dark Confidant. It does nothing. You can cast Lightning Bolt. The turn I play...
Sure, but I can mitigate this damage. Mitigating damage is a lot easier to do than mitigating your card draw.
No, I see, this is where I think you're... I think this is where I think you're a little off on this card, is you're forgetting a couple things. One, if Eidolon costs red 1, it would absolutely be the card in the cycle, but it doesn't. It costs red, which makes Eidolon a very specific card.
I said that earlier today.
In
you stole my line.
A very specific deck. And on top
but
of that...
I think
that,
this is way worse than Eidolon.
If you put Eidolon into your deck, you inevitably, because it's modern, are going to take some amount of damage from the card. You're
right.
Just going
it's
to.
Because it's too
It's
sided.
Parallel.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. The other cards in red, like Abbot of Carol Keep, which is a strong card, again, has to be put into a very specific deck where you're taking advantage of your front side of Abbot.
Sure.
And lastly, the one that makes elemental tokens,
Young Pyromancer,
which is strong. But Young Pyromancer is another card where it has to be in the correct deck. And also, mitigating your advantage off of Young Pyromancer is not very hard because you're just making like a 1/1 or 2/1s. This card, on the other hand, this interacts with most of what people are doing in their game plan in a one-sided manner, which is not the same as Eidolon.
I don't know. Other than fetch lands, what does it really interact with?
Artifacts, creatures, and lands?
No. But what artifacts, creatures, and lands are people really playing that, like, most people... playing that they need so regularly that if they took 2 damage once or twice a game, it would be backbreaking.
Viscera Seer, they lose life. Activating Inkmoth Nexus, they lose life. Activating Steel Overseer, they lose life.
No, I think it's decent against Affinity. I don't disagree. But Bob is generically good always in every deck it's in, unless you have a 6-drop in your deck. Snapcaster Mage is good against every deck in the format. Tarmogoyf is good every single time I've ever played it ever. Oh, that's not true. Stoneforge Mystic
you.
Is good always. Like the be at that status, you have to be always good. Period. In
I,
any
I
deck
think
you
that
put you
this
in.
Card is going to surprise you. Why are Hate Bears called Hate Bears? Because they're playable cards.
Yeah, but none of the cards I just mentioned are Hate Bears.
Yeah, but this is a Hate Bear.
Sure, but it's not. I don't think it's one of the five best 2-drops ever printed.
I want to play this with Tunnel Ignis and Leonin Arbiter in a
and
deck.
Now it all comes. Well, Leonin Arbiter is terrible with him.
Why?
Because it stops people from fetching. You want them to fetch.
They're just, no, it's they both make fetching bad for people.
No.
They're both reasons that fetching
but,
is...
But this, the point of this is you want them to fetch and take the damage being like, I have to fetch to play this spell. The Leon Arbor makes him bad. You don't play these together, for sure. They like it's a nombo in a way that's like makes this so much worse, and this card I'm already at low on.
Eh, I disagree.
Because the point, the reason this card is going to ever be good is because I'm like, oh, man, that's in play, but you know, I really want to cast spells. I'm just going to fetch anyways and take three. Or sometimes, oh man, if I don't play Liliana of the Veil is my only answer to that, I'm going to have to take five. That's when this is really good. And because then they take seven in that situation. With your guy, they don't tutor in the first place. They don't take any of the damage. Yes, you're like, Leonid Arbiter is good on his own, but you're now, why are you playing this two drop?
How much better would this card be in your mind if it referenced Planeswalkers as a fourth type?
It would be much better.
Significantly
better. No. I'd be pretty much the same space on it.
Okay. You're wrong, so let's move on.
We'll see, as prices will dictate. All right. This was a card that is probably the opposite. I've actually tested with this card. And it's sicker than people are giving it credit for. Failure to Comply.
It's such a Kessler card.
One blue, one colorless, return target spell to its owner's hand. And then, that's an instant. Comply, one white, sorcery. Choose a card name until your next turn. Your opponent can't cast spells with that chosen name. So,
I think this card's good.
The general, I count bounce your thing back to your hand, and then the next turn you can't play it, so I locked you out a little bit, is decent. Failure in general is okay. The fact that, once again, I'm really high on the fact that all of the Aftermath cards can be somehow put in your graveyard for value in some way, specifically with any mill effect, like a Thought Scour, specifically.
Powerful, yeah.
But the thing that I learned that is brutal is Comply can name suspend cards.
Oh. They can't cast them?
It stays exiled forever. So you can Comply in Ancestral Visions.
Wow.
And you can Failure in Ancestral Visions. So this card is a nuts card against Ancestral Visions.
Comply is an instant as well?
Comply is a sorcery.
Okay.
But it's until their next turn. So I know your Ancestral Vision is going to go off. I'll just cast Comply and it gets exiled.
It's another card that can get rid of my Gargadon.
No. Yep. It's good against Argon too.
Stupid.
I'm like all on board this card.
I think this card's sweet.
I've been playing it in my Esper deck that I'm recently brewing with, and I got two Ancestral Visions on it, and I was like, oh, I'm sold forever.
I mean, look.
I almost cut it because it might be the best thing it ever does.
Reflector Mage sweet. Was banned in Standard. Like it's there
it's
are reasons.
Spell Reflector Mage, but it's definitely a card that's worth considering.
But it's value. It's double sided. I just mean like Reflector Mage was banned because they don't think that the play pattern is fun for people, and it creates too consistent an advantage for them to allow to be in the format. And like, I'm not saying this will, but it's not that far from it.
Yeah. Nope. I'm high on this card.
What do you got?
Soul Scar Mage, one red human wizard prowess 1/2.
All right. I like 1/2 prowess.
It doesn't
one.
Have haste, but it does have, if a source you control would deal damage, non-combat damage to a creature and opponent controls, put that many -1/-1 counters on that creature instead.
Interesting.
It gives all burn.
Wither?
Wither.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, the prowess 1/2 for one has a pretty decent history. I
definitely.
Mean, the only other one is
Swift Spear,
and obviously haste is much better than whatever this is doing, but having two of those effects in one deck seems interesting. Especially if you want to do a Delver deck without Delver. But then also the fact that you can somehow play some value burn stuff and just like shrink their Tarmogoyfs. Like kind of the thing that's interesting to me is like bolting a Tarmogoyf is much better with this in play than not.
I like the idea of playing a blue-red counter burn deck with four Delver, four of this, and four of the other guy, and playing all of the cheapest spells on Earth with flashbacks so you have all the value and playing like 14 lands.
Just some burn spells, yeah.
Imagine that playing like
Searing Blaze, like all of the do 2 damage to a creature and X damage to a player
Searing
effects.
Blood.
Yeah, Searing Blood.
I mean, that seems sick. I even like the idea of just playing like cards that are kind of bad, like Distortion Strike. Like, why not? Like, you just play Distortion Strike and you're like,
just
all
for
right,
the prowess.
I'll trigger both of these on prowess, and then one of them will be unblockable and get like a plus up off the spell, and then it'll come back and do it again the next turn.
Yeah, no, I think there's cool things here.
I mean, it almost feels like, would you want to play Delver in that deck, or would you want to play Prowess?
I would just want to play Burn.
You just want to play Abbott.
I don't even want to play Abbott. I don't know if I want Prowess after these. I want these two guys, Goblin Guide, and then just every mono red, double red, do two damage to that creature and that player effect. So there's two of those spells. So
you don't
need
bother with blue?
What? No, I don't even think you need blue.
I think you'd want, well, yeah, I wish we had lots and lots of cast for one.
Pingers are really good. Actually, this guy's really sick with the flash ping everything haste guy.
You know what would be so sick is don't play blue, play Naya, and play Thrill of the Hunt. Now, this is the deck where Thrill of the Hunt starts to feel like the card, right?
For I don't want to throw the hunt is.
That's the flashback. One green, +1/+2, +1/+1. Sorry, +1/+2 to target creature till end of turn for a green and flashes back for white. So like in a deck where you're playing like one drop prowess creatures.
So okay, so this is my the point of this guy is the fact that he gives burn wither.
Yeah, so you play your good burn spells.
Well, but why, I mean, why like the prowess on one? I guess is just what you're excited about.
Yeah, it's just eight prowess one drops.
Boring to me.
That's good.
I mean, it's really good. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you definitely play Lightning Bolt, and like you definitely play some burn spells.
It's just interesting that that's the thing you're excited about, and then the cool weird ability that it has, you're just like not even on.
I think that that's incidental.
Okay.
I think probably the Naya deck plays Nacaudle instead of Delver. These guys guide. You play 16 creatures, and then you play like some amount of burn, and you play Thrill of the Hunt, and any other like value flashback spells, and all of a sudden you have like a really really aggressive curve of prowess creatures.
Yeah,
think about that. One copy of Thrill of the Hunt makes one of these attacking for three on turn two.
I mean, I think Thrill of the Hunt is bad, but we're gonna.
I disagree.
It like it like two, yeah okay. Pyramid of the Pantheon, one colorless for an artifact. 2 mana, tap it, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So it's for 1 mana, make a mana and make a brick counter, but fix your colors. Or add 3 mana of any one color to your mana pool. Activate this ability only if there are 3 or more brick counters on Pyramid of the Pantheon.
So you just have to build your bricks.
So you need extra mana for 3 turns in a row, but then you get heavily paid off with a Lotus Bloom.
There's a couple of brick. There's a couple of brick counter things. There's also the 4 mana
cycle
one.
Four. There's four.
There's the one. There's the one that you get free spells off of eventually.
Yeah. There's the one that taps people down. There's the one that gains you life. Those are the four.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like this one though. This one's sweet. It has Black Lotus on it.
What's this one called?
Pyramid of the Pantheon.
All right, keep going.
Where we at? Dread Wanderer. 1 black, 2/1 zombie jackal. It's a jackal. Dread Wanderer enters the battlefield tapped. You may play a black and 2 to return Dread Wanderer from your graveyard to the battlefield. You may only activate this as a sorcery and only if you have one or fewer cards in hand.
Most notably, this is just your Grave Crawlers 5-8 in a zombie deck.
But what's cool about this is if you get to the late game of a zombie game and they've been able to answer everything, the problem with Gravecrawler always was, what if I don't have a zombie to get back? This allows you to play this first and then play a bunch of Grave Crawlers if you get to the late game.
It definitely helps the zombie deck. I mean, I think the zombie deck has real legs now. This card is one of the big reasons.
Yeah.
You're still missing the lords you need, but the fact that you have the density of one drops definitely makes a difference. There's another zombie I don't think we're going to talk about tonight, unless you put him on the list. I don't think you did, though. He's a black and 2, and he's a 5/4 zombie that when he enters the battlefield, you put 2 -1/-1 counters on a creature you control. And I believe it's whenever a zombie you control dies, you like drain gain one, maybe. But I was thinking about that guy and how powerful a 5/4 for 3 is that like doesn't care about the creature that dies. Basically, effectively says sacrifice a creature when he enters. And then also has like a drain gain effect where you can play some sort of a killing wave type of effect to just like go for it as your late game win. Seems good to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, totally agree. I'm looking for any. Are we sure there's no 2 mana zombie lords?
Relentless Dead is the closest one we've got. Relentless Dead's the 2 mana, like, really good zombie card. There's no actual 2 mana zombie lords, though. You have Bad Moon at 2.
Have you been looking?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I won't spend my time. All right. So, I mean, we're getting to a number of 2 mana 1/1 or 1 mana 2/2 ones that are impossible to kill and ways to gain value off of that. And I think a devotion game plan in that world is also something that's really interesting. You get the 2 mana 1 that gives everything fear or menace, whatever it is.
Sure. 2 mana.
Intimidate. It's intimidate.
Okay.
It's a devotion intimidate. So every black, for whatever your devotion is, that many creatures gain intimidate.
Mogi's Marauder.
Yes. Yeah. And then you get Grey Merchant. You get Nykthos. Like Nykthos is really good with a bunch of one drop black creatures, and black is the best card for Nykthos because you can play Urborg. I think there's a lot of cool stuff you get to do with this.
Yeah, Blood Soaked Champion was the closest we had gotten to another recursive black, but it was not a zombie; it was human, right. So we couldn't use it.
So next is probably my favorite cards from this set, and that's the Cycle Lands. Sheltered Thicket being the all star of that, being the red green cycler. Other important thing is that they all have the basic land types of ally types. So this is a mountain forest. There's a swamp mountain. There's a island mountain or island swamp. There's a island plains and there's a plains forest.
Yes.
And all of them are good. Cycling Lands has been something missing from the modern format since its existence. The, you know, one of the reasons that Life and the Lone Decks have never been a thing is because the Cycle Lands didn't exist. Now, is it fast enough still and is it good enough? I don't know. It might be, but the fact that now that Cycle Lands exist with Life and the Lone and all the other things that that needs, there's a heavy chance that that deck becomes a much more playable beast.
I think these are good, and I think they will definitely see play. The most important thing you didn't mention is that they are... Well, you mentioned that they are...
Fetchable.
Yes, but yeah. They're fetchable. That's the most important thing. Yes.
Well, you gain that value. They're fetchable. You can cycle them. The other thing is you can now play cycle Splendid Reclamation decks. So you play Jund Splendid Reclamation instead of... And it's a half Valakut deck, half Scapeshift, half that, where you're playing all eight cycle swamp or cycle mountains, and then you play that plus Scapeshift, so you can do kind of both, and you discard them, and then you can bring them all back at once with Valakut. Does a lot of cool stuff. There's cool stuff that these they're going to do a lot. They're a new thing. There's a land that does this.
People are definitely going to try them out. Yeah. There's no doubt they'll make an impact.
And these are, I would say, these are definitely better than any of the Scrylands. And the Scrylands have seen decent play in Modern since their existence.
I agree completely. Yeah. I'm excited about these cards.
All right, now. Into the mythics. That's it. We're out of the
out of the woods.
Yeah, it's mythics. First one, 5 mana. Liliana's Death's Majesty, +1. Create a 2/2 zombie. Mill 2 cards. -3. Reanimate, and it's a zombie. -7. Destroy all the zombie creatures. So there's one big thing on this. There are two things.
Okay.
The reanimate when it comes into play.
Yeah.
That's a 5 mana is expensive, and we haven't seen a lot of the 4 mana. Barrowites hasn't seen a ton of play, but the fact that this offers that while also keeping a Liliana in play that's making 2/2 zombies every turn and then continually milling you past that is a really powerful effect, and it also comes in pretty high. It comes in as a 6 loyalty thing, if you plus.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, it comes down with 5, you minus it, and it stays alive at 2 loyalty after that. Like, that's that matters. That's a big thing. You are left with a sweet creature and a Liliana living. And then the fact, the relationship between the first ability and the second ability, and also the fact that it takes 3 turns to destroy everything, and it comes down. For 5 mana, you get this Planeswalker to come down, and if you don't minus it, it comes down on 6. Mm-hmm. That's big.
And you have a 2/2 zombie to protect it, and you, theoretically, if you're playing a deck that's milling yourself, or reanimating, you're going to want stuff in your graveyard anyway, so you kind of drew 2 cards on top of that.
This might do something in... This will be good in Standard, I think, but it might do something more in Modern than people realize. It actually,
that's why I'm putting it on here. Like, it has potential to be a very powerful card.
It's possible this ends up going in a mono-black, like, the first deck ever to play Gristlebrand as a reanimate target to just straight value you. Like, just a mono-black...
Model Black control with Grizzlebrand and this and maybe some other decent value reanimate targets seems pretty great.
Seems good to me. Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe you wouldn't play Mono Black. Maybe you'd want to play some red so you could discard. So you
on Burial Rites.
Or looting or something. But yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem bad.
In maybe Modern, this is a better place to do it. But in Standard, I was even brewing with her and Nahiri.
Yeah.
Because you can play Nahiri on turn 4, mill, discard Ulamog in Standard, but Grizzlebrand in Modern, and then turn 5, cast Liliana and bring Grizzlebrand back, and you're off to the races. And that's a deck that you're now Mardu, so you also play in Burial Rite, so you have multiple copies of different ways to do it. You play Faithless Looting, and then you get really good removal out of the format, plus you just get
Lingering Souls. And Nahiri's Ultimate allows you to do the same thing.
With Emrakul, you get Emrakul
out
of it.
That deck seems sweet. I would build that deck with you. That sounds fun.
Yeah. See? You're on board now. Next on our list.
Yep.
Kefnet the Mindful. Blue, 2 colorless, legendary creature god, flying indestructible, 5/5. He cannot attack unless you have 7 or more cards in hand. You can pay 4 to draw a card, then you may return a land you control to your hand. I think this is the only god that has any potential to see play in Modern, and I'm not even sure if this one does.
Kefnet?
It's the blue one.
K-E-F?
K-E-F-N-E-T.
K-E-F-N-E-T. Okay, let me just read this again. I read this in preview season. I didn't see one this weekend. Kefnet, the Mindful. So, okay, yeah, I mean, 3 mana is a reasonable cost. 5/5 yep. Flying indestructible, solid stats. I like the creature type, God.
Yeah.
I don't Very love holy. That the 7 cards thing. When, in what Modern deck do you ever have 7 cards in hand?
I think you can play a control deck that is aiming to do that.
When what like I that just that what
the remand deck? Cycle cryptic command and ancestral visions deck that's going to have this as its top end removal threat. I mean, the problem with this card is also that path just wrecks it. I agree that this is unlikely, but I don't see any other gods doing it either.
Yeah, it seems loose.
I need to have one god on this list.
Yeah. None of them are really
what's
that sweet.
Yeah, in Standard, I think this card's awesome. I think in like Commander, this card is sweet. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. This is maybe, actually, I lied. This might be my favorite card in the set. It's one red, two colorless, instant, glorious end.
This card's sick.
End the turn. Exile all spells and abilities on the stack, including this card. The player whose turn it is discards down to his or her maximum hand size. Damage wears off in this turn and until end of turn effects end. At the beginning of your next end step, you lose the game.
I've been using Sundial of the Infinite in every deck I've ever built for I can't even tell you how long. I know Kessler's never played with that card. He's really not a fan of that card, but I
Ben
love
is
that.
Full of lies. I have cast Sundial of the Infinite more times than you have probably in your entire life.
I'm trolling.
I have Sundial of the Infinite in my foil Geist Commander deck because you get to keep the angels after the attack step, and it's glorious.
I love Sundial. I'm a big fan of it, but this card is sick. This is not.
So, yeah, so I... we will do an episode. So we will do every so something, you know, part of the Patreon is we, if you are a $5 donator or above, you get to once every set, we will do a brew episode about modern decks that are playing with new cards from that set. And me and Ben normally submit one of our own brews to that, and then we'll take 2 to 3 brews from the Patreon account.
It's coming right up.
And we'll be doing this very soon. And so get your brews ready with all the new cards. But my brew is going to be playing Glorious End, and it's sweet. I've already been testing it on my phone. It's really cool.
It doesn't cost 2, which is a shame, because otherwise you could combine it with Sundial and Isochron Scepter, and you could go infinite.
Yes. I think that's on... I don't know if it's on purpose, but I think the world is a better place...
Because you can't do that?
Because you can't do that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But Glorious End is really good.
I mean, you can still put this with a Panoptic Mirror... and then cast this every turn and end the turn with Sundial. But if you're going to do that, you may as well just put Time Warp on Panoptic Mirror and just do it.
Yeah.
The real way.
Yeah. next, but this guy is another thing to do with Glorious End. The other cool thing, and this is standard legal, Gideon of the Trials.
This
colorless, Planeswalker Gideon, +1 until your next turn. Prevent all damage target permanent would deal 0 until... end of turn, Gideon of the Trials becomes a 4/4 human soldier creature with indestructible that's still a planeswalker. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to him until in this turn. 0, you get an emblem with as long as you control a Gideon planeswalker, you can't lose the game and your opponents can't win the game for 3 mana. I think this has a chance of seeing significant play in modern. I think there's 3, off the top of my head, there are 3 versions of decks that want to play this. One is just ones that want a 3 mana Gideon.
Near death experience.
That's number.
That's not one of your
decks. None of them. So other than that one, but just a generic, a 3-mana threat that's really hard to deal with, protects you from burn and wait. Like there are matchups that the ultimate will just be a great way of not dying that turn, in fact. And also just is a 4/4 for 3 indestructible that you're playing. Plus it can protect you because it can lock down a creature that you're facing.
Playing a turn 2 Spellskite into turn 3 this card in a deck full of Gideons seems like so stupid hard to deal with.
Sure. Well, not to mention just if you're against Death Shadow, if they just have one Death Shadow, play this Gideon, that Death Shadow no longer does damage to you.
Yeah.
Because it's a 1/1. Or it's one creature. Like what we said earlier in a conversation that, you know, this is a format where piercing strategies are kind of the main function of how to attack. It's one of the reasons that Ghostly Prison isn't as good as it should be. And Gideon is kind of the opposite of that. It's really good against piercing strategies where, like, nope, that one threat you have isn't going to come at me.
Right.
And the next one. Sorry, that was the first deck. Second deck is not Living End, but Ad Nauseam.
Yep.
I don't think this is a main deck card. I think Phyrexian Unlife game 1 is much better because people generally don't have ways to stop it. But I think Gideon is a much better sideboard card for 2 reasons. One, it is on game plan. You ultimating him can go off with that Nauseam. But 2, it offers an additional threat if they have one of their answers to your main game plan. This is another way you can kill them. So they have to deal with your main game plan of Ad Nauseam, Ad Nauseam to death. And Gideon allows you to kind of attack them in the same way.
Yeah, I'm a fan. What's deck 3? Or that was deck 3.
Deck 3 is the deck I was talking about. It plays Glorious End. dumb brews that Alex Kessler or Ben Bateman are going to make with this card.
Look, near-death experience with this card and all of the Gideons seems sweet. I mean, I like curving this into 4 and 5 mana Gideon. Like, that seems great.
Yeah, no. I have 1 4 mana and 1 5 mana in that list, too.
Yeah.
I like them. Next, 2 colors, 1 red, Combat Celebrant, Human Warrior. If Combat Celebrant hasn't been exerted this turn, you may exert it as It attacks when you do untap all other creatures you control, and after this phase, there's an additional combat phase. It is a 4-1. The important thing on this is that it goes infinite with Kiki Jiki.
But not like immediately, right? Aren't there certain conditions?
No. It goes infinite. So Kiki Jiki, the way it works, I mean, they have to...
Not be able to block or something, right?
No. Kiki Jiki play, comes into play. You clone this. You only attack with the token. Even if they block the token, it untaps everything else. You make another copy of this. Only attack with the token. Eventually, the 4-1 damage hitting creatures... If they have an indestructible creature, you can't kill them.
Gotcha.
But that token attacking will eventually get rid of all their blockers, getting you to the point where you then can just make infinite tokens and win.
So it
does go infinite. It's a little bit
complicated.
It's more complicated than a Splinter Twin.
Yeah.
But it does work. This means that also in mono red, there are now two different cards that go infinite with Kiki Jiki because there's also Zealous Conscripts.
Yeah.
So that means you can play Kiki Jiki, this card, Zealous Conscript package in decks that aren't necessarily white or blue. So that gives it off green and black are now options. I don't know why you would do that, but it now gives you versatility in different directions.
Interesting.
Plus in Kiki Core decks or Kiki Evolution decks, this is a 3-mana version that goes infinite with Kiki, where before you only had the options of having to play 4 colors and go into blue and yada, 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 yada.
Kiki Jiki decks seem to be getting better and better.
Oh, every card that's printed makes Kiki Jiki slightly better.
Yeah.
Every creature.
Just a Kiki Jiki Bring to Light deck with every version of these creatures ever now. There's so many of them now that are good cards.
Sure.
This is a good card on its own. The green blue guy.
Yeah.
He's pretty decent on his own. He's like a 3/3 flash for 3 that has like an effect. A 1/4. Like there's a whole list of them now that you could totally get away with playing.
There's actually 2 in the set. There's a white one in this set.
You could play Rug Kiki Jiki with Bring to Light and Kiki Jiki and just like.
Well, I'm interested in maybe talking about doing just green-red and you're playing like a full-on Eldritch Evolution version of the deck.
Yeah.
That you're playing a bunch of small birds and stuff to get Kiki Jiki out earlier or Eldritch Evolution into him while you also have this guy. Like, you have enough tutor effects with this. I think it's something to definitely consider.
Yeah.
This is a card you're high on.
As Foretold?
It is As Foretold. Blue and a colorless, or blue, 2 colorless, 1 blue, enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a time counter on As Foretold. Once each turn, you may pay 0 rather than pay the mana cost for a spell you cast with converted mana cost X or less, where X is the number of time counters on As Foretold.
It casts
all the suspend cards for free, and then it gets better every turn after that.
Yeah, I talked about it when you talked about earlier about Living End.
Yeah.
It casts all the suspend cards, which is the most important, so Restore Balance and Living End. And
I think this
vision.
Is a serious contender to make that Restore Balance deck a real thing.
Because the most important detail about Restore Balance is some people don't remember that Balance references hand size, creatures, cards, creatures, hand size, lands.
Yeah,
and maybe that's it. Doesn't reference artifacts or enchantments. So this stays in play.
Cards.
This stays in play after you've sacrificed everything, which means even if you have no lands left, this thing's ticking up, and every card you draw for the rest of the game, you now have a significant mana advantage against your opponents with. So that's pretty good.
Yep. So how many times are you gonna suspend Gargadon on turn 1, and then cast this on turn 3, casting Restore Balance and sacrifice all your lands?
Seems so sick.
Yeah.
I'm just like so into that.
Everyone just got kind of excited about that happening. All right. Last card. This is the last card we're talking about until I look at Twitter and see if people reminded us of cards we forgot.
Okay.
Nissa, Steward of the Elements. This is the first X Planeswalker. Blue, green, X. Planeswalker Nissa, +2, scry 2. 0, look at the top card of your library. If it is a land card or a creature card with converted mana cost +2 or equal to the number of loyal counters on Nissa, Steward of the Elements, you may put the card onto the battlefield. And -6, untap up to 2 target lands you control. They become 5/5 elemental creatures with flying and haste until end of turn. They're still lands. One of the important things is just this on turn 3 is fine.
It's a lot of play to this card. There's a lot of play to this card.
And like it's good kind of always. That's kind of we talked about the blue draw spell and the fact that that's the next spell. And the fact that this can on turn 8 kill your, just do 10 damage out of the nowhere.
So good for several reasons. Number one, yes, 10 damage on turn 8 is great. Like the fact that you can just dome them for that is something that like planeswalkers don't have. Ugin has like a good ability, but like this has that ability. Mm-hmm. The fact that this is the first card really printed that is a powerful enough effect to combine with counterbalance that you could legitimately try to build the counterbalance like countertop. Like it's no top.
No, no, I don't. I have to disagree with that one,
because
actually.
It's not instant speed.
Yeah, it's like, I've played Miracles and Legacy for a while, and like, the instant speed is the thing that's important. You have to be able to respond to what they're doing.
Oh, sorry, I said countertop. I was thinking Miracles, not countertop.
Oh, Miracles. Yes, I can give you.
I misspoke. I was thinking, yes, this is the closest thing. And Jeff Roberts, who's a listener on my anchor station, called in a few weeks ago when this got spoiled and said something similar. And I agree with him. I think Miracles is a place you could legitimately take this.
The thing I was thinking about is, and people have talked to me, is Blue Green Tron.
Yeah,
I mean, because you put this, you know, I mean, getting to the blue and green mana is hard, but you have all the mana rocks that filter into the colors you need. But then you can start just zeroing, and you get most of the things you want to play once you get this high enough. Or you can just cast it to do a bunch of damage. Like, it has a lot of good effects there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think she has a lot of play. Once again, versatility. That's what this set is about. Like, in review of this set, now that we've gone through every card on our list, is every card is versatile. Like, I felt like every single card did six things when I was playing in Limited.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. I think the set's super deep in terms of play patterns. I think it'll be really fun. And yeah, this card seems great.
What decks did you build while I go look at Twitter to see if anyone's brought up anything?
What decks did I build?
When you pre-leased.
Oh, Limited. The deck I played was Black, White, Green, and it was. I opened up the 2/1 zombie, the recursive zombie. I opened up the 5/4 demon, the cycler. I did open Glorybringer, but I decided not to play Glorybringer because I didn't think my red was that good. My promo was the green black 2/2 that whenever -1/-1 counters are placed on creatures, you make snakes.
Okay.
The commander. And then my other three rares were the brick making draw cards thing.
I got that in the team sealed event, and I got that as my promo in the first one.
I tried to play it because it seemed like a good grindy card, but I never drew it. And then the other two I got were not good limited cards. I opened As Foretold, and I opened the black lobotomy for artifacts.
Got it.
So I ended up playing black, white, green. I had the 3/3 flyer for 5 that cycles and embalms. I had 2 of the 3/3 flyers for 6 that cycle. For 1, I had I'm trying to remember. Oh, I had the 4/5 beetle for 5 that when it attacks, you put a -1/-1 counter on the opponent's creature. That thing's really good. I had some pretty interesting cards, yeah. But my deck wasn't like crazy sick.
Midnight pre-release, I had Liliana, the black murder, aftermath. There's an aftermath that has murder on 1/2, and then you exile, make a 2/2 zombie for the other half.
No, it's not murder. It's the one I'm saying. It's heroes. It's heroes downfall.
Oh yeah, heroes downfall.
Creature or planeswalker. Yeah, and you're correct.
But it's a sorcery. I had the demon, and then I had the black red minotaur, the 4/2. It's like that. Like, you can discard a card to do -1, put a -1/-1 counter on a creature, and they can't block. Is like an insane card.
Yeah.
So I did black red for the first one. Second match, which was the one you left, and I played in the next limited one. I was blue green, and I turned 5 the worm enchantment, the 8-mana worm enchantment. I played on turn 5 because I was just blue green ramp and just like stomped people. That thing is unbeatable if you play it, and it's really unbeatable when you play it on turn 5.
The worm enchantment?
Yeah, it's 8-mana. Flying creatures can't attack you that your opponents control. And every end step, make a 5/5 worm.
Oh, sick.
So that's really good. And I just had a bunch of really good ramp to get up there and the other good green big creatures. So that was what it was doing there.
Sweet.
And then round 3 was 2 out of giant. My teammate was just a random guy. He was really cool. We won the whole thing, so I'm pretty happy about that. he played a blue-red embalm deck that was
sick.
like a lot of discard effects, and like red was removal and cycle cards, while blue was just good embalm creatures. And then mine was black-white discard. So I would discard a lot of my like good value white cards and zombie. There was some zombie effects. And then he had Consecrated Sphinx. He got the Invocation Consecrated Sphinx,
yeah,
which is just like an insane card. And then he had the clone. He had the Sphinx that can't be targeted.
Oh, sick.
And then we had 2 of the Red Gods, and each of us played one.
That's amazing. I think that the...
Oh, and cut and... Oh, that one's one we might... I guess we didn't talk about that in our release. The red, do 4 damage, target creature, sorcery, and then X... Black, drain someone for X.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
I was very impressed with that card.
I think the fact that they decided to print embalm in all the colors is something that I'm happy with.
Yeah,
I definitely
agree.
The blue, white, black would have been the obvious like go-to if you guys wanted to. You know, black, white.
Because that's the zombie colors in this set, too.
Yeah, if they wanted to do that, they could have. But it makes me happy to know there are red zombies, there are green zombies. Like, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
a cool thing. There's only one red one. I think there's only one green one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the green one's the Roar of the Worm or whatever.
And then the red one is the Firecat thing?
Yeah, Firecat. Flingcat. Yeah. Or it's a Manticore. Why is it not a cat? It should be a cat.
That's weird. They only did...
Cat Tribal's in this set? This set's so sick.
Yeah. I actually like the 1/1 lifelink cat for one that embalms for one.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm a fan of that card. Good.
All right, so that's it. No one on the only thing people mentioned were the Malira replacement and the red drop that you like so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for the cast today. I hope you guys liked it. This set's really sweet. As we said, we're really hyped. I think this might be... I need to draft it more and make sure there's not like just weird color imbalances. But I've had the most fun with this set since, I want to say, Khan's block. Khan's.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, like I liked all the other sets, don't get me wrong, but this one is like the exact level of graveyard interaction and flashback and grindy and value and cool stuff and a return mechanic that's really popular. Yeah, I'm all about it. Make sure to follow us at Twitter on at the MMCast. I am at Kes Wiley.
I think Born of the Gods was the last one that I really loved. I loved, kidding. No, I hated Born
of the Gods. That's a weird
one. No, you can find me at Benbait Media. You can find me Benbait Media on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram on everything. Facebook on everything. Make sure to follow us on Patreon. As we mentioned, you can get the lifelink your code there. You can submit cool sweet brews you have with the new cards from this set to get into our Deck Tech episode. Play great, and it helps make the podcast happen. Make sure to check out the Command Zone. They're our sister podcast that make great Commander content. They also do game nights. They just had one of the Seattle Seahawks on for an episode that was on the Seattle Seahawks front page. So it's on YouTube. They go play Commander. I'm in one of them. If you want to go find, I think I'm in episode 2. I'm in the second one.
Sick.
I play Birthing Pod, the deck, because I was like, if it's banned in Modern, I'm going to bring it back here. So make sure to check out Collective Comedy. Jimmy and Josh do great content. And yeah, download the Lifelinker app. Even if you don't want to donate to us.
If you want to get the Lifelinker app, find me on Anchor. Download the Anchor app
and
challenge me
him.
On Thursday. You have to be the lucky person that gets the call because I get a bunch of calls Thursday morning for this usually. But if you call in and you're the first one to call, then I'll challenge you. And if you beat me, you get the Lifelinker app for free. So Anchor, podcast meets Twitter, super fun. 10 minutes of magic. Find the station.
Perfect. One last thing. There might be in the next 2 weeks, there might be a week we take off. Just a heads up.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.